It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know in Tipperary. So it's goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, let us swear. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart's right there. It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary. To the sweetest girl I know in Tipperary. So it's goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, let us swear. It's a long, long way to Tipperary.
The 52nd Annual Convention of the Women's Overseas Service League met 15th through 19th of July in 1972 at the Sheraton Palace Hotel in San Francisco. The convention program started for the other officers and myself at the pre-convention Board of Directors meeting on Saturday. On Sunday morning, there was registration in the lobby, and then about 2 that afternoon, we boarded the buses to go to the Presidio for the memorial service. Ethel Bruschini was the marshal. The procession lined up in front of the chapel with the 6th Army Color Guard leading off, carrying the flags, and the women in uniform following that, followed by national officers and members in the white dress and blue caps. Following the memorial service, there was a recessional. We returned to the buses to go to the Sheraton Palace Hotel. Later that evening, we boarded the buses again, this time to we had a short ride down toward the waterfront, and the harbor to board the Harbor Emperor for a cruise and reunion dinner aboard ship. We had Hawaiian musicians that entertained us all during the cruise. Monday was a business session. Tuesday was service day with the service day luncheon with George Mardikian as the speaker. And Wednesday morning, a short business session followed by the post-convention board meeting, and in the evening, the banquet. And this ended the Women's Overseas Service League National Convention for 1972. A newspaper announcement, which was printed July 17th, 1972, publicized the convention. Headlines: Women's Overseas Service League meets. Members of 55 units of the Women's Overseas Service League are in San Francisco this week for the organization's 52nd annual convention.
Among the participants in the four-day conclave are three Redwood City women, Miss Nelva Gillette, current national vice president, who has been chosen by the nominating committee as the 1972-73 president, Miss Mamrie Irons, national secretary, and Mrs. Andy Agresta, vice president of the Peninsula Unit and chairman of the convention's service day luncheon scheduled for Tuesday. WOSL is a veterans group composed of women who have served overseas with the armed forces of the United States or her allies, or with an agency approved by the federal government to work with the armed forces. Hosts for the convention, which opened yesterday at the Palace Hotel, are six Northern California units: the Peninsula Unit, Santa Clara County, Sacramento Unit, San Francisco, Oakland, and Fresno units. Sunday's agenda included a memorial service at the Presidio, San Francisco, and a reunion party aboard a boat cruising the bay. Business sessions are scheduled Monday through Wednesday. The closing event will be a president's reception and banquet. The following year, another article in our same local paper reported overseas service meeting. Members of Peninsula Unit will meet Saturday at 2 p.m. in Redwood City. Nelva Gillette of Redwood City is the national president of the organization, and she will outline the league's activities and plans for the next year. There also will be reports on the convention that was held in San Francisco this past summer, and all women who served overseas during wartime are invited to attend. End of article. After a short musical interlude, we will hear another taped history. After 66 years comes city's recognition. This is an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, Wednesday, July 19, 1972. The headline says 94 and never an idle hour. Take away my cane. I don't want it. I don't want it to show in the picture, Mary Cutter said crisply as the camera was focused on her. At 94, Miss Cutter's step may not be as steady, but her spirit is just as jaunty as it was in 1904 when she worked her way through her senior year at Stanford, and in 1906 when she spent the summer helping resettle San Francisco earthquake victims. In 1913, when she volunteered for World War I duty in France, and just last Monday, decades later, she finally received the city's official commendation for her 1906 service. She hasn't had an idle year since. The peppy 90-year-old here from a Lynn, Massachusetts home is the oldest delegate to the Sheraton Palace Convention of the Women's Overseas Service League. She has a personal volunteer service record to match her years. She was proud to report, I taught history and economics for 40 years at Roxbury Memorial High in Boston, until, she added with a touch of irritation, they made me retire. Backing away from any kind of challenge is alien to the nature of this New Hampshire-born woman, attracted to Stanford because there was no tuition in 1900. My 4 years there were splendid, despite having typhoid fever. There was an epidemic in my junior year which depleted my funds, but I knew shorthand, so I got a job as a secretary to the university president, David Starr Jordan, during my senior year. She was teaching at Lompoc when the 1906 earthquake hit. I volunteered with another young teacher to work through the summer here with disaster victims. We lived at the Y and spent most of our time in the tent cities and parks trying to help families reestablish themselves. A few years after the earthquake work, she was one of the first women in Boston to volunteer for World War I overseas duty. During her Atlantic crossing, the flu epidemic spread through the convoy and she nursed victims. In France, she went on to set up a variety of educational programs for American soldiers. When the Women's Overseas Service League was organized in 1921 by women who served in many capacities with the overseas forces, she was one of the founding members. For 51 years, in addition to her teaching and volunteer tutoring, she has worked in many league-sponsored programs. These range from Save the Children's Federation to Freedom's Foundation. Another founding WOSL member and World War I worker was the late Mrs. Herbert Hoover. When the former First Lady died in 1944, she left a bequest to the League, which operates a major financial assistance program for any woman in need who was a World War I overseas worker. 250 delegates are attending the International Convention of WOSL, which includes women from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam among its members, and has been an effective pressure group to improve their service conditions and benefits. Clarice Jackson of Fort Worth, retiring president, will install Neville Gillette of Redwood City as the president of the organization at tonight's convention banquet. That's the end of this article in the paper. The byline is Margaret Hamilton, evidently a woman's reporter on the San Francisco Examiner. And end of recording on this side of the tape.
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Johnny, show the Hun you're a son of the gun. Hoist the flag and let her fly. Yankee doodle, do or die. Pack your little kit, show your grit, do your bit. Yankees fill the ranks from the towns and the tanks. Make your mother proud of you and the old red, white, and blue. Over there, send the word over there, that the Sammies are coming, the Sammies are coming, the drum, drum coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer, send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over, and we won't come back till it's over, over there, over there, over there. Send the word over there, that the Sammies are coming, the Sammies are coming, the drum, drum coming everywhere.
The use of worrying, it never was worthwhile. trouble in your heart, get back and smile, smile, smile.
This really is the end of recording on this side of the tape. No more music, no more talking. This is Mae Marie Irons, Peninsula Unit, Women's Overseas Service League.